Welcome to the Activate Podcast. This message was recorded from the Writing the Cherubim Conference with Ian Clayton. In this episode, Dr. O explains how man affects all aspects of the heavenly realms.
Now, we're going to start today by talking about some things that are very important. It's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, right? And we're going to talk about speech. Speech. Voice. And what it does. Because the man of God started talking about it today. How your voice frames what? The world in which you live. I blame all the evil that is happening in America on Christians. Because it is Christians that have been framing the context of what's been happening in our country for the past 50 years. We've had an opportunity to frame something different, but we've always framed judgment, evil, and destruction. And the reason is because we don't understand who we are. All right? But before we get into that, let's talk about the world of God, the inner mind of God. Right? The Bible in talking says that no one knows the mind of God except the Spirit, okay, of God. Or no man knows the mind of a human being except the Spirit that is in a man. Likewise, no man knows the mind of God except what? The Spirit of God. And then at the end it says, but we have the mind of Christ. Now you have to understand that the mind of Christ is the inner system of God himself. Now, when you say you have the mind of Christ, you're thinking Christ talks to my mind and I do something. That's not what the scripture says. That's really not what the mind of God is the essence of God's power of thinking, creating, and speaking. So if the Bible then says that you and I have the mind of Christ, it means that what God is saying is that you and I sit somewhere in the event horizon of God's mind. Can you hear me? Can you hear me in the back there? All right. Now, that means that as Christ is in the mind of God and you carry the mind of Christ and you are in Christ, that you are sitting in the horizon, the event horizon of God's mind. That means you're sitting at the edge of divine consciousness. And the reason God has you sitting there is because God does not want anything to come out of what? The innermost mind of God in order to manifest into creation without it passing by you. Try it again. Unless you don't believe that you have the mind of Christ. Because if you have the mind of Christ and Christ is the mind of God. By the way, the early church called Christ the nous of God. Which means he is the mind of God. Okay, let me say it in scripture. He is the logos, which means that he is a structural principle of the inner being of God. Okay, are you okay? Yeah. Now, if that is the case, and then God gave you Christ. Okay, you don't get it. If that is the case, if the logos is the structural principle of the inner life of God. Now, I know some of you are Pentecostals or Pentecostals, and you don't believe that logos is a good thing. You think rhema is the stuff, but I want to disambiguate you. Rhema is what is possible even for a witch. So you spend all these years saying, I don't want logos, I want rhema. You don't know that what you've done is you've said, I don't want Jesus Christ. I want to be able to talk magically and have things done. Come on, is there a Pentecostal here who hasn't said, don't give me logos, give me rhema? You and I have said it. I said it. Until God pulled me out and said, son, you don't want me? And I'm like, what you mean? You know, logos is a dead, stale stuff. He said, read John chapter 1, verse 1. Enarche ho logos, kai ho logos, prostenteion, kai ho logos, theon. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word there is logos. So in other words, when you say you don't want logos, you're saying you don't want anything that has to do with God. You want to be a Tower of Babel magician. But we are the ones that develop all these magicians that go around calling themselves prophelias and apostles. Because for many years we spent the time rejecting logos and talking that and arguing that we wanted rhema. So God gave us rhema. So God gave us diviners and liars. We called it. Do you understand how powerful what believers do is? Because you and I sit when we go, you know, I'm seated in the heavenly places in Christ. True. But do you know what that means? Because Christ is the inner essence of who God is. That means you're not just sitting on a throne by the Father. You are actually inside of the mind of the Father. Who you are has not yet been revealed, not even to you. You're still thinking that you are this being that is living on earth, that one day you're going to go somewhere called heaven. You know, for some of us, you know, heaven is a place where when we die, we get there. And our salvation is death. Because really, okay, not your salvation. But the way we preach the gospel, salvation, our salvation has become death. When I die, what's your salvation? Death. That's why 98% of the church has never been to heaven. Because they're waiting to die. Oh, and by the way, just in case you don't know this, which I think you probably know. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. It's not talking about you. It's talking about Jesus. He's the one for whom it is. It doesn't say it's appointed for men. It says it's appointed for man. Read the whole text. It's about Christ. The one whose death ushers in judgment is the death of Christ. Okay, so because your death is really meaningless at this point because you're a believer. You've already been judged. Okay, can I preach a simple gospel? When he became a human being, he took me into his body. So I was part of his physical body. So when he left heaven, he took everything that I will ever be and everything I've ever been into his physical body, right? When he walked on the streets of Galilee, I was walking with him. When he taught, I was in his body. Can I have a witness in the house? This is simple gospel. This is simple gospel. So when he suffered, I suffered. So the whip in his back, the 39 stripes times 12. Because the Roman cut 9 had 12 cuts in it. So it's actually 39 stripes times 12. When it cut his body, I was being judged in him. When he died, I died with him. When he descended into hell, I was there. Okay. I know you want me to teach mysteries. But you gotta get this. When he rose, I rose. Right? When he ascended, I ascended. If I was not in him, I will not be with him in the heaven. So when he ascended, I ascended. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. Can I get a witness in the house? So when we teach these things that we teach, you already have those foundations. You know what the foundation is. The question now becomes, what is it that God wants to do? Because God cannot just gather himself up in all that he is into a one person and become mortal for the purpose of just wasting time. A price is always comparable to the what? To that which is being bought. So why will God die for something that is not God? See, the church fathers did not believe that God died for a worthless human being. They believe that the reason Jesus died is because the people that he came to save came directly out of him and a reflection of who he is. He came to save himself. Because he could not allow that part of himself to be lost forever without giving it a chance. Okay, let's come back to the text. Are we okay? Okay, now, so the Bible then says that you are in Christ and Christ is in the Father, which means you're sitting in the heavenly places, but it's not just the heavenly place, you're sitting in heavenly places. Can you say places? So in other words, what God's saying is that you are already present in multidimensional realms. Because he didn't say you're seated in a heavenly place. It's Bible, because some of you, if I don't quote the Bible now, you're going to say, oh, he didn't base it on scripture. That's scripture. You are seated in heavenly, say it, places. So that means that you're present in the trillions and trillions and gugillions cells in the universe. How do I know that? Because in the Jewish tradition, we are told that when God wanted to create man, God did not just want to put himself in man and then so that all creation will say that God is special. Because all creation wanted to participate in man because they wanted to be close to that which God is in man, right? So what God did was God commanded every cell, every planet, every being, every moon, every star, every potential existence to give a piece of themselves to the human being. So which means then that you are a summary of the universe, not just as it exists, but as it will ever exist. Am I okay, sir? All right. So, here's the thing. So, the believer, the reason the believer sits in the mind of God and sits in Christ is because God is putting you there so that you can have access to everything in the event horizon of the mind of God, because that forms you, that causes you to be a complete reflection of who God is, but it also allows you to frame the future together with God. I love this stuff about being in Christ because people forget who they are Believers forget who they are. So sitting on the edge of divine consciousness, that means then that you should be able to get what God is thinking before it manifests in the world. You cannot legislate what you don't see coming. If you don't understand where you are seated and you're not looking into, can I see? I'm going to use a word that's probably going to scare some people. If you're not looking into the abyss, you're never going to know what's coming. Because God is deeper than the abyss. Yes. You got to look deep. Oh, by the way, that's the whole idea of deep calling unto deep. Is you staring in the infinite depth of God and God staring back into the eternity that he placed in your heart. Okay, let's be nice. Let's be nice. Who you are as a believer is such an incredible thing that sometimes when somebody tells you about it, you want to bring the religious stuff to convince yourself that I'm not telling the truth. There's so many believers who want you to tell them how terrible they are. Who want you to tell them, hey, you know, you have a problem. The truth is you do. But that's not our issue. The reason you continue to have the same problem is because you refuse to sit where you're supposed to sit. Now, in this principle, I'm going to talk to you about some stuff, about the cherubic nature and all that stuff. But before we can talk about that, we've got to get it into that our skull, you and me, that God is not afraid of you being inside of God. He's not sitting down there going, I don't know if I want Mary in here. She's got too much junk to bring in here. God's not doing that. God's like, okay, come in. Because let me tell you, what God can handle is beyond your imagination. Oh, and by the way, I know some of you, you're going to be thinking, but aren't you supposed to be holy? I understand that. But here's the problem you're having. You can't be holy unless you're in there. Unless you're talking about H-O-L-E-Y. But if you're talking about God's holiness is only possible by inner engagement with God. I struggle so much in my life because so many people told me that holiness was an act. And listen, my mom's here now, so I can talk about this. The whole church, I was only 15 years old, and the whole church thought that when I committed a sin that I was what? That I was done for. And that's what the church teaches young people. They tell young people, if you fall into sin, you got a problem. And we so much misinterpret scripture. Because they kept saying, you got to do this, but every time I tried to do it, I failed. So until the Lord said to me, I want to show you where you are. Man, I was having an incredible experience. I kept saying to the Lord, I said, why you bring me up to heaven? Look at my life. Look at how messed my life. The Lord's like, you don't get it. You're going to get it one day. Do you know that as a kid, my wife is here, I was preaching in a church. I was preaching to people like you, and I'm standing in the pulpit, and light, this is in Africa where there's no light. Light just shone in the whole place, and light. Remember, there's people who were covering their faces while I was standing on the pulpit. And I was saying to the Lord, I said, but I'm just a kid. and I'm struggling with so much stuff. God said to me, I'm preparing you for what it is that I'm going to do for you, with you in the future. So just don't run away. Let me tell you something you need to understand. God honors loyalty more than he honors personal righteousness. I'm scared of people who've been loyal to God, no matter how frail they seem. Because it takes more guts to hold on to God when you're struggling than when you think you're righteous. Don't joke around with people who have held on to God in spite of all your struggle. Be very careful, because God is very jealous over them. God will, okay, God will kick your behind over somebody you think is less righteous than you, who's been loyal to him. Okay, come back. We crossed the line. Let's come back over here. Come back with me. So, this engagement or this position is what Ian is talking about when he talks about being in a position of rest. You cannot really operate at the level that God has created you or redeemed you or sanctified you or saved you to operate in if you're not operating at the seat of rest. Okay, so what are some of the things that come out of the mind of God that believers are supposed to be able to legislate? First of all, the world is not yet done being created. See, but that's the problem with reading the Bible in the English. In the English Bible, it says this. He says, and God rested from all of his work which he had created or done, right? But that's not what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew says, and God rested from all of his work which he has created to be done. Okay, you didn't know that unless you're my student. That's what the Hebrew says, that God rested from the work which he had created to be done. What is to be done? Who is God waiting for? Thank you. God did not create Adam to sit in the garden and rest. Okay, let's try it again. And just remember that the Bible does say in the book of Luke, chapter 3, and Adam was the son of God. Not a son of God, the son of God. Right? So God created the world and left the world open so that a son might arise and do what? And continue the creation and also continue the rectification of what had been created in case it goes wrong. Am I okay? Okay. Right now. Before you were born, and then Ian knows that I don't use the word born again because it's not in scripture. But we all come from the background, so sometimes I say born again. But we know what we mean. We mean being born from above, because I've heard him say the same thing. You're born from above. You're not born again. You are not a fertility cult worshiper. By the way, that's why it was translated born again, by the same guys who are fertility cult members. So Christians now struggle with being born again as if we need renewal every summer, every winter, every spring. Because the Bible doesn't use the word born again. And the languages we've used is also giving us a lot of problem. It says, if a man is born from above. So where do you come from? So you come from what? From the inner mind of God. From the what? From the event horizon of divinity. That's where you came from, right? So when you are born anew, where do you come from? You come, your spirit comes from the same center and does what? And travels. Oh, okay. Get the MP3. Amen. So let's come back to this. So when you hear us say you're born again, we are not talking about the things you think we're talking about in terms of the traditional language. What we're trying to remind you, and at least from what I've learned from my brother and from what I've heard him talk about when he talks, from what I'm hearing from him, I believe I'm right. Am I right? Okay, because what we're referring to, because I'm interpreting his stuff now, so I got to ask him. I'm not presuming, you know, that what we're talking about is your birth from what? From that center of God's mind, all right? That's what we're talking about. You're not being born again. You are born from above. All right? So when you become a believer then, God not only allows you to be born here, in the process of you becoming a son, because that's what the Bible says. You're not a son because you're born from heaven. I'll try it again. For unto us a child is, unto us a son is, say the last part again. A son is?
Given.
A son is a gift. You are trained to be a son. Okay? He's not looking. Don't tell him. But you get the point, right? You are... The Bible says, now what we have to read Scripture again. We must read Scripture again. We cannot read Scripture from the same paradigm and the same pattern. This movement does not require the same kind of language that the tradition of the church, which in fact is not the true tradition of the church, which is a Western understanding of Scripture. This movement that God's moving since the charismatic awakening and the Pentecostal revival, there's been a shift. God's been trying to shift the language of the church so the church can fully experience what God has in store for her. Okay, where was I? So when we... So a son is given. So you understand that when you are born, you are not a son. So the Bible says in the book of John, as many as received him, watch this, to them he gave power to become sons of God. Now I know that you read the book of 1 John and you go, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doesn't say sons, it says technon. The word technon is a teenager. It's a child. It's a technical, legalistic person. Okay, read the text again. He says, beloved, now are we the children of God. It does not appear what we shall be. That means we are not what we should be. But we know that when we see him as he is, we shall be as he is. The issue then becomes, when will you see him as he is? Not when you die. Because the scripture expects you to step into the other dimension every day of your life. The scripture expects you to look at the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. To look, okay. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Right? When talking about Jesus, he says that it is meant to what? To give the light of the glory of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what we're saying is, for you to be able to have this experience, you've got to be able to stare into the face of God. And he says, we all beholding as in a mirror are being transformed from what? Glory to glory. But if we are not looking into the mirror, whatever it is we're looking at is not going to be transformed into the image of God. But we cannot look into the mirror on this side. I'm going to borrow his term. You cannot be an outie and look into the mirror. The mirror is behind the veil. The mirror is behind the veil. So, which means, and what is the veil? Your first veil is your physical body. Because you're stuck in your body. You're so stuck. Okay, most of us are so stuck. You guys are different. The church has been, you guys are weird anyway. The church has been stuck in the body. The church has been stuck in the body. So when you tell the church people that you leave your body every night to go visit someplace, they say, But if you tell them, listen to how religious people behave. If you tell them a witch left their body and traveled to India, they go, oh, that is so powerful. That is some, okay, I'm not going to talk like that, bro. Wash my mouth with soap. They're going to say, that's some powerful stuff, right? So they believe you that a witch left his body and went to India. But they won't believe you that a believer left their body and went to India and ministered to somebody and came back. First time I told somebody that I actually left my body, went to India, ministered at a town up in North Chandra, where there were mostly young people because most of the elders are dead. I didn't even know the city existed. I was in that city all night. I thought I was awake, but I was in the city ministering. It wasn't until I came back to my body and I was smelling like lavender and all that stuff that I realized this is real. And I had marks on my body to prove I was there. See, the problem that people have, Christians have, is they don't understand what God wants to do with them. And then I began to legislate over that city, because that what I found out in the dream was, what, well, dream or not dream, you know, I knew a man once, you know, whether in the spirit or out of spirit or body, I don't know. But what I found out when I went to do my research, because you want to find out if this is just something, I discovered that the average age in that city was less than 21. So when you tell believers stuff like this, believers go, that cannot be true. But it is. My students see me once in a while when they're struggling with an idea. And I walk into the dream. And I say, this is the answer, this is the answer, this is the answer. And I walk back out. Anybody here who's my students who ever seen me that way? She has. But not just them, other people. So my point to you is, Here's what I want you to understand is that your capacity to operate in the fullness of who God has made you is being hindered not by God, but by the structure you've developed around yourself. And part of the structure that has created problem for you is your linguistic structure. The philosopher Heidegger said that language is the house of being. Language is the house of being, B-E-I-N-G. And the Bible is very clear. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Like apple of what? Silver. Apple of gold in a what? Yeah, so is what? A word spoken fittingly. So in other words, your word has the capacity to frame the universe. I want to quote a passage for you which you have to go look for yourself. It's in the book of Isaiah. The Bible says, have I put my word in your mouth? You know, and you read it in the English, it says what? It says, I put my word in your mouth to establish this and establish that and establish something in the heavens. But the Hebrew says, I have put my word in your mouth for you to implant heaven and establish earth. That's Bible. Because, you know, if we sometimes people say, oh, you guys are always talking about all that stuff. You never talk about the scripture. This is scripture. Yeah. Now, the problem is most of us believe our hype more than we believe what God is saying. We believe our doctrine that we've been developed with. God says, I've put my word in your mouth to do what? To implant heaven. Do you know what implant in the Hebrew means? It means that there are portions in heaven that are never going to be created until you release it from your mouth. Make yourself useful. Clap your hands for Jesus. But that's the Bible. That's in the scripture. That's in the scripture. Okay, if you don't like the Old Testament, let me quote the New Testament for you. Jesus said, right, whatsoever you shall say, it shall be as you say it. That's from the Master. And then he says, everyone will give an account of every word that they speak. They say, oh, if you use a curse word, God's going to get you. That may be true, but I don't know about that. Okay? Because I've heard some angels say some pretty strange things. Because your whole concept of how things are supposed to function is not how God functions. Here's something, you know. So, what Jesus is saying, Jesus says, you give an account. What would you give an account if your word did not create something? Where's the evidence? It must only be so because, this is my Jewish background now, okay? Because every word that comes out of your mouth as a person who believes in God creates something. What if you knew that the word you spoke just created a demon? What if you also knew that the word you just spoke just created an angel? What if you knew that the word you just spoke just, what? Just created a new galaxy or a new planetary system in space? Because we wanna put it down here, but God's not speaking from down here. God is not speaking from here. God is speaking from God's position. Right? And if God is speaking from there, then we must understand that when God says that our words matter, that he's not talking from earthly dimension, that there's something our words do in the heavenly realm. God forbid that we should create, speak a word that dysfunctionalizes the heavens. Here's the thing I've discovered with people who want to claim to be mystical. Is they go and make a mess in the heavens in the name of trying to be spiritual. And then someone's got to clean it up. Because God's not going to clean it up. God's going to hold him responsible. God's going to hold me responsible. God's going to hold the mature brothers and sisters and sons responsible for what you do up there. Okay, let me put it for you biblically again. Bear one another's burden. It didn't say call God to bear your burden. You're creating too much work for other people. Amen. Okay, let's come back to this song. Why is this important? Okay, because a word out of the mouth of a believer can either connect or disconnect. It can either destroy or construct. It can either generate or cause degeneration. It can either preserve or become a second law of thermodynamic. You decide what it is you want to use your tongue for. So a new language must then develop. So part of the stuff that is happening in meetings like this is that new languages are being created that allows your mind to function in a different way, because you cannot do what is coming with the same language you've developed before. Your brain system is being rewired by words you've never heard before. There's a reason we say the things we say that shock you, because your mind needs to shift from what you consider normalcy, which is actually abnormality, to a new form of normalcy. All right? So you are a child of God. You've been redeemed, you've been washed, you've been sanctified. We're not going to lay again the foundation of repentance and baptism unto the dead and all that stuff. But if you will allow us, we will move towards something that is greater. And that is exposing to you who you truly are in God. So let's come back again to the, I like the Hebrew word kol, which is the word for voice, K-O-L. Or Q-O-L, Q-O-L, if you really want to put it in the right context. So, your voice has a specific signature that God himself, and by the way, I'll tell you something, and I saw this happen. I've seen this happen so many times when I preach, and I preach, and I ask people to step forward and make, and just commit themselves. I watch as their whole system transforms. So, when you become a believer, the day you got born from above, something happened to your old soul. At that moment, it died because you received a new soul. Otherwise, you will still be the old stuff. Okay, I'll try it again. The Bible says you were dead, D-E-D. You were dead in your trespasses, right? And then the Bible then says that you are a new creature, right? All things have passed away. Now, I'm not trying to lay again the foundation, but what I'm doing is trying to show you who you really are. So the Bible says you're a new creature. You cannot be a new creature if all that has happened is for you, for your old nature to be raised up. Because the Greek word kainos means there has never been anything like you. Who you are now is not who you were before you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. You're completely new. Because your soul came directly from the inner throne room of God, or from the city of God, and the Spirit came from the event horizon of divinity and reached out and made you something new. Right? Oh, come on. I just finished. I've done classes on that, so go get it. What I'm trying to let you know is that that very being born from above now sets your body towards the direction of resurrection. Now watch this. It's not just when you die, because if you actually change your language and change the framework of your perception, your body will follow the new creation to where it's supposed to go. Oh, by the way, let me say this, because my students will probably get upset with me because they paid a whole lot of money to hear this. But let's do this. Here's the thing. Did you know that the Holy Spirit was not giving to your soul? It's not giving to your spirit. the Holy Spirit is giving to your flesh. I didn't say it. He said, and it shall come to pass that I will pour my Spirit upon all. Wait. Now, the reason I'm saying is because people ask me now, how can it be that I am in the mind of God? Let me show you how God works. Because I want to also show you that your physical body is being pulled into this thing. And the problem with believers is they're not thinking from this perspective. They're thinking from the perspective of death. So watch this. The Bible says that your physical body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It did not say your soul. Remember, your soul is the newest creature in your life. Because you just came from there. Right? Your old soul is dead, right? So, since the Spirit of God is giving to your body, why is it giving to your body? Because the Spirit of God must tune your body to the new soul that has come from heaven. And once the Spirit tunes your body begins to receive life. The Spirit was given for the renewal of your physical body. That's Bible. And it is the Spirit tuning your body in this present occasion of your being born from the center of God's being that allows you to be able to do what? Your soul to be able to leave your body and go wherever it wants to go, because the Spirit serves as custodian to your physical body, so your physical body doesn't give up thinking your soul has left. This is what the church teaches you, right? How do I know? How do I know that the demon is not going to come into me? Because they're not looking at the function of the Spirit that has attached herself to your body. And I use the word her. I use the word her. Because I get people saying that I don't believe in anything about women. That's not true. You should get my class last time, then you will understand what I believe. Now, understand this. That the reason for that, and I'm going to tell you this now. So, my brothers in this movement will tell you that they've been translocated. And I will tell you things that have happened when my wife was there and when my wife wasn't there, and to me, where I found myself places I wasn't supposed to be. But the question becomes, how does it function? The reason it functions that way is when you get to a certain level of soul maturity and spirit, you know, where your spirit and soul are operating right, the Spirit then, being attached to your body, can tune your body to a frequency that allows it to leave one dimension to another. Because it always says, and the Spirit took Philip. The Holy Spirit wasn't just given to you to go shama, 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 rabba, rabba, rabba. You come back. So, as a believer, and I'm doing this because we need this foundational stuff. You know, there are many of you who have never heard us, so we have to do this before we get to the whole idea of, because if I start talking to you about the 24-dimensional cherubic nature that you are that comes out of the book of Ezekiel, you wouldn't get it. Really. But you don't understand that there are 24 dimensions in the throne room that has to do with the realm of man, not even the realm of all of creation. So there are 24 elders in the throne room. But what you gotta understand is, who are you? Do you accept who you are? Or are you still trying to, you know, be nice to God? Because that's what you think you're doing. God says, I give you the whole world. He said, no, God, you know, you will miss the other part. I'll just take a little bit. Because do you know some of us are more righteous than God? Really, because God's saying, okay, it's yours. No. You know, God, you really need the rest. I just need a little bit. Let's try this again. Ephesians. God who is able to do. Wait. Do you know that all the words there are in superlatives? And the reason they are written in superlatives is because they have to do with the hyperdimensional realm. Because Paul did not have a language to explain what God wants to do for you. The Greek word there is hyper or hyperbalo, which is hyperthroneness. So it's beyond supersonic, it is hypersonic. So every word there that is used beyond the normal circumstance. So whenever somebody describes to you what God wants to do in your life, your first statement is, well, let me look at my sin first. Good for you. Because what you look at is what you become. What you should be saying is, let me look at Christ. Let me look at what has been accomplished. Amen? What time is it now? After 10. Really? They haven't started yet. We're going to be here. And I want to be nice now. I might just decide to mess up the equipment over there. No, I'm not going to do that. No. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. So, the voice. God said he gave you this voice for you to be able to implant the heaven and establish the earth, right? Everything that comes from God's event horizon, which is the inner unrevealed mind of God. Because nobody's been there yet. Somebody's been trying to get in there and they won't let him. I didn't say anybody's name. I didn't say anybody's name. Okay, why are you laughing? What? They won't let him. Because some people are just nosy. But let's. Why are you guys looking at Ian? But the point is, when you move in the heavens, you see so many people. There are believers, some believers who are doing stuff that you and I, and the thing is, they're not in church anymore. They're not in church the way you think church. They go to church. Because some of you don't want fellowship. You think isolation is the answer. But you can't do anything being isolated. God knew I needed somebody. Because I can tell you, doing this stuff for years without any support and finding someone like him has completely been like, wow. Because, you know, I was like Elijah. I was like Elijah. Lord, I'm the only one. Really, my wife finally said when she saw Ian, she said, now I know you're not crazy. God is faithful. God is faithful. You know, and then I started meeting some other ones. So where's the big guy? Grand Mahogany. but we do this stuff because joy is a transfusive element that allows you to understand mysteries. So we are infused with joy, even when we are saying things that are new and difficult to understand. So, oh my, I feel the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, thank you, Father. In Genesis, when the Bible starts talking about the movement from the inner mind of God to the actual creation, Adam was already in the mind of God. Because all things were there. But Adam was not Adam in the garden. Adam was the son who was in the foundation of the universe. Okay. Wow. There's a passage in Scripture where it says this. It says, the Lord will not do anything unless he first reveals it to his prophets. Right? You think it's these guys who are doing divination? No. It's the prophets that are sitting at the edge of divine consciousness. Because creation, from the moment God created and rested and left it for somebody else to finish it, everything must pass through the consciousness, the voice, and the vibration of that one who sits inside of God. Of course, then what is the use of us sitting with God in heavenly places? God has made space so that we do what? We direct how creation goes. And God doesn't have a problem with it. You may have a problem with it. But here's the thing. In this stuff we're talking about, there's no joke there. In what we're talking about, we can handle this for a few minutes. In what we're talking about, you are sitting in a position in God. Watch this, because this is very Jewish, so understand me. Which means you have the capacity to affect God in a bad way. which is the reason most of you are not conscious where you're seated. Most Christians are not conscious of their position in God, because you have the capacity to affect not just God, but to affect creation and all of heaven. Because God has brought you into the center of his being. And when we're talking about all of this stuff, we're not talking about, you know, you and I, you know, talking about don't do this, don't do that. Because if you really are seated there, the relationship will be so deeply ingrained in you that there are just some things that won't even come to your mind anymore, because you are so focused on making sure that the world is legislated and manifested according to the paradigm that you've seen in the Father. Can we change and direct the world? I mean, there are things that have happened, and I'm not going to talk about some other stuff, but right now, there are people who are legislating things that are happening in the world. But the problem we're having is that there are believers who are standing in the way, and you don't want to hurt them because they're God's children. So God allows you to let things happen. We need more people who know their place and their position in God. Now, when something comes out of the mind of God, okay, it comes out not formed. It is not this, it is not that. You know, I used this term in one of my teachings when I was dealing with my advanced students, and I called it tetium quid. The word is tetium quid. Tetium quid is that which does not have a form. It's not this, it's not that, it's formless in itself. You don't know what it is. And God does it that way because God wants you to determine the form of it. So God's major task and work with you is to help you make a vessel that manifests things according to God's nature on earth. By the way, that's the meaning of the word tohu bohu. Tohu is tetum quid. Bohu is the vessel. Hallelujah. You know, formless and void. That's the Hebrew word tohu bohu. Okay, we'll come back tomorrow. We'll come back next tomorrow and talk about that. Amen. Put a clap offering to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, let's stand up. This is not going to be the same the other nights, so don't worry. Amen. Guys, Ian's got some product out there, right? The books. I mean, that first book was awesome. And I think this is a new one, right? That's this second edition. Printing. The second printing of the first one is there. And my books are out there. I don't want to take even one of them home. So buy for your friends. Amen. Amen. But the Lord bless you. Okay. That's key. You are in the mind of God. God has not rejected you yet. If you are in Christ, you are in God. If you are in God, you are in God's mind. And God's purpose is to pass his thought through you for the manifestation of what he desires in creation. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord, Yahavaha. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, be gracious unto you and give you shalom. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. For more information and lessons and teachings, please visit activate.com. We have 3 subscription platforms and tiers now available for anyone and everyone.